We are back in Derech Hashem. Last time, sort of out of order, we had our concluding discussion about free will. What we really should have done last time was just do the last oat on free will, which sort of wraps up everything that we said. We're going to do that really quickly now, and we're going to leave the topic of free will behind. I think last time was kind of like our processing discussion, where we kind of worked out as much of it as we're going to work out together as a group. If more stuff comes up, we can talk about it, but in terms of the text, we're going to jump to a much, much simpler conversation about how evil exists in the world. Okay? So, to finish off the topic of free will very quickly, let's just take a look at Chelek Aleph, Perek Hey, Oat Vav. V'omnam, achar ha'tnoha b'chirit, after we take a free will action in this world, meaning it happened, however it happened, we talked about. After a person does take a free will action in this world, timashich be'achreach tnoha mukrachat, then automatically a tnoha mukrachat must happen. Right? Just to try to keep this as simple and quick as possible. We talked about how we have the tiv'it mukrachat model, and we have the b'chirit model. No, there's just a lot of use there, that's fine. We have, it goes from the kochot. We're going to do it like this. We're going to start the diagram a little bit. From the kochot down to the olam ha-shafel. In the Tiv'it Mukrachat model, which way does it go? From what? Excellent, it goes down. When it in the Bichirit model, which way does it go? From the Olam HaShafel to the Kochot. But that makes it cyclical, is what he's saying. Meaning, and we've talked about this before, if I take an action, a Bichirit action in the Olam HaShafel, then it automatically changes the kochot. If the kochot then change based on my bechiri action, what inevitably happens in this world? Everything changes because the kochot changed. And once the kochot changed, what automatically changes? The olam ha-shafel. So I guess this doesn't necessarily have to be here, right? But it certainly, from the bechiri perspective, goes this way. And that's how our actions over here end up with a change in the world over here.
But it's not necessarily that once you do the Bakhtiri model that you're going to transfer back into the Tavit
Mukhafa,
right?
But no, it is. That's what we're saying. It is inevitable. If you take an action in Olam HaShafel, you change the Kochot. If the Kochot changes, there's a reflection of that change in the Olam HaShafel.
There's a reflection, but does that mean that you automatically switch back? Like, can you not stay in the Bakhtiri model, like, consistently?
No, it's not about you. There is a change in the Olam HaShafel. You can, hopefully, Bezrat Hashem, like we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, you're always in the Bechirit model. We want you to always stay here. But everything except humanity exists outside of the Bechirit model. So either they're impacted by the Kochot based on God's general guiding of reality, or it's impacted based on our free will actions. But those two things, either one can cause changes. Down here. Where's the source of that change? Depends. It depends if I'm taking a free will action or is the world running on autopilot.
If the world's running on autopilot, then why would that change?
Because stuff happens. But the chipmunk the chipmunk grabs the acorn. Either because that was the natural way of things, kochot to olam ha-shafel, or maybe my action was so impactful on the world that I made the chipmunk pick up the acorn. Why, I don't know. But it could have, you know, I don't know. If you want to take conversation much more seriously, not you, I'm saying, like, if I were to show much more serious mode, two nations go to war. One of them is Klal Yisrael. If nobody expresses a bechirit model, so a Kadosh Baruch Hu will guide it based on the ultimate conclusion of what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to do in the world. If there's a Bechirit model involved, then that could change the scales of whether or not they win the war. What's the first war that the Jewish people wage?
And
Samalek. Isn't it interesting? There are two battlefronts. Where are those two battlefronts? One is on the ground, the war, the almost like, if you will, the Tivit Mukhrachat model. I'm not going to claim that because obviously it was true happening on the ground with the Jews who were fighting that battle. But there's an intentional statement to the fact that where was the real war being waged? Up on the mountain, whether there was emuna or there was or there wasn't emuna. Hakol b'yirat shamayim chutz mi yirat shamayim. That's what's happening. That's how the first war is portrayed. And every action that we take has that kind of impact. Clear? Okay, I'm going to take that as yes and keep moving forward. Since the kochot were impacted based on my bichiri model action, then it comes back, then the tivit mukhachat model kicks in, then all the kochot then are moved around, and then it affects the lower world as well. So there are two directions by which the lower world can be impacted. Either through my actions back up to the chod, back down to the lama shafel, or on its own through the vid mochachat model. But either way, the world changes. It either changes through my free will or changes on its own. But my free will actions change things in the world. Bi'ulam, yishbechol ha'inanim ha'ele chukim pratim rabim. In all of these things that we're talking about, this is a general model that we just put on the board. This is like, if you walk up to somebody, it's like, hey, look, this is like the pulley system of how the world works. Like, it's not that simple. Obviously, we're giving it in its most raw form, in its most simple form, in its most basic form. All of these things have many, many details and ways in which they work, and it's much more complicated than this. According to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed, based on the depth of his wisdom, would be proper for the entirety of the world. V'sho'aru hadvarim b'shiurim rabim, and he weighed things out very, very carefully in terms of the impact of it, the way that everything works. Bein b'hagat ha'tznua mi'adam l'kochot, whether it's the measure of the amount of impact that a human being, that a person through their free will actions can have on kochot. Bein b'hagat ha'tznua mi'akochot l'shvim, and in terms of how much a koach can actually change the olam ha'shafel. Everything is weighted out very, very carefully by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's constantly keeping an accounting of the world to make sure that the world is marching toward its ultimate destination. But it doesn't change the fact that I can change. The destination remains the same. Which is an important, he's not saying that here, and we're not going to get into it. The destination remains the same. We are marching toward a certain destination. The world is marching toward a certain destination. The path by which we get there, the experience along the way, we get to choose how that happens. What? It's like a map with 2 million, just, I don't know, who cares if it's a million, 2 million, it's an infinite number of ways, with 20 different ways to get to that destination. The question is, where do you want to make your pit stops? The question is, where do you want to make your rest stops? The question is, which hotels do you want to stay at, or which motels do you want to stay at? The question is, who do you want to be spending your time with along the way?
But does Hashem know when we're gonna use the
period model? We're working under the presumption of no, because if he knew, then wouldn't it be free will? That's the struggle between free choice and omniscience, which he didn't get into, and we're not going to get into. But using the Ramchal's own terminology, because to me that's definitely safe. We keep quoting the same piece. He says, "Hine asau bilti taloi beze bezulato." It's not dependent upon anything. God can't force the hand one way or the other. Does he know? Does he not know? We can't force our hand one way or the other. That's the claim of the Ramchal, that God set up this in such a way. Going further. Based on the mysterious and deep ways like that we've just mentioned. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes all of occurrences happen in this world, everything that is and everything that will be. This is how reality marches forward. Ad kan, how reality moves forward, whether through the Tevit Mukhrachat model, all the way back to the beginning of Perakeh, where we talked about the Gashmiim versus the Ruchaniim, we organized them into Kochot, Nivdalim, and Nishamot, and... help me out here. Kochot and Malachim. Ruchaniim, Nivdalim, and Nishamot, yeah, and then Kochot and Malachim. Whether it's from the Kochot through the Malachim into the Olam HaShafel, or through the Bechirit model, where we go up back to the Kochot and we change the Kochot. That's how reality functions and all of the components that make it function. Ad kan. That is the end of the discussion in the Ramchal's text in Derech Hashem, Chelek Aleph Perakeh. final questions on this before we move into Tov and Ra today. Yes?
Can I ask a super technical question?
He said he has no details, so we'll see if we can answer it. Yeah.
It's
not presenting any details. I didn't mean to say there are no details. Yeah.
The word Misharu, you know, there's two dots on top.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if it's a shin or a sin. I've never been.
Oh, sure. Well, when there's two dots, you have to both have to be active and functioning.
So
the only way you'd ever have a dot on the right side is if it makes it into a shin. If it's on the left side, it makes it into a sin. But if you have both, what does the one on the right do?
Yeah.
It makes it a shin. That's the only thing it can do. So the one on the left then makes it show. It makes it. It's a cholam. It's a cholam chaser.
Okay.
Like if you have a word like your kochot, pretending that that's a cholam, you can have it with the dot or without with the line or without the line.
Okay. I so never
you,
knew.
As I'm saying, if you have both, the one on the right can only function as a to make it a shin.
Thank
you. Sure. We can't explain how reality works, but we can explain a little bit of grammar. Okay. So now we're going to totally switch gears, but I want to take us into a new stage at this point. We really sat. I edited last night all of like the last four or five Derech HaShem. I was like, wow, we've been in free will for a while. It's time to leave free will behind, move out of the Bechirid model. Now we're just going to ride it out. No, I'm kidding. But we're going to move into a whole new different realm, which is how does Tov and Ra manifest in this system? That's the last piece of the puzzle, and that's actually how we're going to conclude Perek Hey and Chelek Aleph. Ready? Good and evil. Here we come. Ot Zayin. V'inei. B'yot shegazra chokhmato yiparach, shiye ba'olam mitziut hatov v'hara kemo shezacharnu. Since God commanded that there would be in the world a reality of good and evil, as we mentioned before, meaning there has to be good and evil in the world, because without good and evil, there is no bechira. That's part of the foundation of this world. The foundation of the world is bechira. You have to choose between two things, and those two things that we're choosing between are, you can call it chomer and seichel, but chomer and seichel are just, another way of saying that is choosing between tov and ra. Hine, tchilat inyan zeh, tsarik shiye b'kochot ha'ela sharshim. Definitionally, based on what we've got on the board, based on the way that reality works, it needs to be that the roots of Tov and Ra, somehow, and we have to explain it, we still have a couple of pages left, somehow have to exist in the Kochot. Because you can't have Tov and Ra in the world, because you can't have anything in the world that don't exist in the Kochot. So the question is, how do Tov and Ra fit into this equation? Clear? And for our purposes, again, we're moving away from Bechira, because we're not talking about that particularly anymore. We just want to understand, in this system of starting at the Kochot and moving into the Olam HaShafel, how do Tov and Ra fit into the equation? So it needs to be that if it's going to be in the Olam HaShafel, it has to exist in the Kochot. Because there can be nothing in the Olam HaShafel that's not in the Kochot. The Acharehem, and after these Kochot, Yimashech HaDavar BaShvalim, then those things will trickle down into the Shvalim. V'hine, Sidra Chochmato Yiparach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized things. Et ha-kochot ha-nivlim, he organized the kochot, these transcendental kochot, sharshei ha-nivrim shezacharnu, which are the roots of all things in this world, as we mentioned before, b'seder u'vitzchuna, in a particular organized manner, she'ipol bahem, kifi ma she'shayach bahem, that it could fall upon them, to the extent that it's relevant to them, two things, tikkun, and Kilkul. Being fixed and being in a state of brokenness. Meaning the Kochot have two states that they can exist in. Each Koach has two different states that it can exist in. It can exist in a state of Tikkun, or it can exist in a state of Kilkul. V'hainu. He has your fixed or damaged, is what I wrote. The Hainu. Chimatze bahem matzav tov. And listen to the words here. Vilo tov. What word did he not use? Ra. Interesting, right? He dropped the ra. Meaning that every koach can exist in a reality of tikkun, which is defined as tov, or it can exist in a state of kilkul, which is defined as lo tov. New terms. The amitat tuv the hamatzav yihye shiyu behachana leor beor panav yitbarach. And this is v'yeir lahem. And this is coming back to all kinds of concepts that we talked about, I think pretty much throughout. And I think it came up, if I remember correctly, it's been a long ride together. I think in Perek Bet, certainly in Perek Dalet, and then now back again in Perek He. Which is the nature of the truth of whether or not a koach exists in a state of tov or lo tov is dependent upon whether or not it's prepared, it's receptive to or panav, to or Hashem, and it's lighting upon them. The extent to which or Hashem is shining upon that koach and its receptivity to or Hashem at that moment. Whether or not a koach is in a state of tikkun and kilkul and will produce tov or lo tov depends on the amount of or panav that's shining down upon it and its receptivity to receive it. The amount and the receptivity. If there's not enough or Hashem shining down upon it, that's bad. If there's a lot shining upon it, but it's not receptive to it, that's also bad.
And we can make it.
We're staying away from Mechira for the. Let's understand the system, and if we want to try to backtrack and figure out how Friel fits into it, let's stay away from Friel for a little bit. The same way we built up the whole structure of reality and then added back in free will. If he doesn't, which he doesn't explicitly necessarily, if it's not clear how free will fits into that system by the end, then bring that back up and we'll put it back in. Okay? The hafcho, the opposite is, again, we basically said this, shetechsar mehem ha'achana hazot, that they're not prepared to receive Or Hashem. V'yitalem mehem, and it's withheld from them. Again, I hear in that two different things. One is that it's not kind of in the scope of Or Hashem, and one is that even if it is, it's not able to be receptive to the Or Hashem that's upon it, the koach. V'toldot tikunam bashvalim hu, and the ramifications of it being in a fixed place, a positive place, a complete place in the lower realms is hatov bahem vahefech vahefech, meaning to the extent that the Or Panim is coming in and it's in a mitzukan place and it's receiving it, it's shining upon it, it's receiving it, that will produce tov. And if it's in a kilkul place and the Or Hashem is not shining upon it and it's not receptive to it, then it can't produce tov. What word have we still shied away from since the beginning of the paragraph?
Ra.
Okay? Let's see if we can bring Ra back into the picture. Let's see if we can, if in this time that we have, I think it's Kedai, let's take it a little bit further. Okay? Everybody ready? V'tzarich sheteda ki hine, we're in Otchet, ki hine, afo pi shebe'emet sibat kol inyanei hatov b'chol makom shehem. Even though that in truth, the cause of all good in all places always, perush bein bekochot bein toldeihem, whether we're talking about in the kochot or in the ramifications in the olam hashafel, hinei he'arat panav yitbarach shemos zacharnu, that is from he'arat panim. What causes good in this world? What causes good in the kochot? He'arat panim, period. God is... understanding that we're talking limitations of human speech. God is good. Everything that comes from God is good. Or everything that is good comes from God. However you want to phrase it, it's two sides of the same coin. But it's an important point, right? The Harat Panim impacts the Kochot. The Kochot are now in a shiny light. They're in a shiny place, a happy place. And that produces an Amashafel. Tov. That's the process. That system. That system is a straight line. That system is a straight line. Hinehi Harat Panav Yibarach Moshe Zacharnu. Here's where it gets a little bit trickier. It's a little bit more nuanced here. V'sibat hara, the cause of ra, v'chol makom shu, in any place that is he'elem he'arato. Maza he'elem he'arato? A hiddenness of the light. Meaning it's a lack of light. You're already seeing the subtleties of the difference? Not yet. We'll get there. Let's take it a little bit further. Omnam, latovi tuar ha'adon baruch hu b'shem siba mamash l'chalal u'vratav. For tov, we can describe God as being the cause, the mamash, the actual cause, in all of its generalities and all of its details, of tov. Aval ra, for evil, ra, he is not the direct cause of Ra in the world. God is not the source of evil. Ra does not emanate from God. Ki omnam, as it says in Chazal, Bereshit Rabbah, Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu meyached shemo al hara'a. God will not let his name rest upon Ra. He doesn't put his signature underneath Ra. He's not signing off on that, so to speak. Ella, so then how is it that it comes about? Because everything has to ultimately stem from God somehow. He is the ultimate source of all things. How can Ra exist if it's not coming from him? Ella, elaim horo oro. The hiding, the withholding of his light. The hester panav, and the hiding of his face. Yechashev lashoresh lo. That's considered the root of Ra. Kizeu sibato be'emet, that's its true cause. V'ze al tzad he'eder hatov, and that's a lack of that goodness. Aval, pause there. We'll get to the aval in a second. Meaning, when the or panim comes in to the koach, the more it comes into the koach, the or panav comes into the koach, that or directly produces tov. What produces ra is when that koach can't receive the or Hashem because it's broken, or because it's moved out of where that light is shining. Right? We have two options. Either the koach, let's say the or Hashem is shining down, the koach has to be within the scope of or Hashem, so to speak. But if it's outside of it, then the or is not resting upon it. Or even if it is shining on it, it could be a koach that's in a good state to receive. Or it could be broken. I don't know how you do that, but right? Or I don't want to change his terminology. Or it could somehow be broken in a way where it can't properly receive that light, even if it's in the scope of the light. But whether it's outside of the span of Or Hashem, or it's broken and within the span of Or Hashem, then that can't come through. If that doesn't come through, the good can't be produced. But the koach is still producing. If it's not funneling in Or Hashem, because it's broken or it's not in the realm of it, then what comes down is not Or Hashem. That's what creates a reality of Ra. Yes. Yeah. Meaning not that God is creating Ra, but a lack of Or Hashem creates a reality of Ra. So ultimately it does stem back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he's not the direct cause of it.
I feel like it's kind of the same thing towards
God. It's an important theological difference.
How could a koach be outside Or Hashem? Like, if Hashem is like, I know Hashem isn't Ra, but like everything kind of comes from Hashem, so then how could there be an area of existence whether it's physical or non-physical, that Hashem isn't there.
Let's read forward and see if we come to a better clarity on that piece as well. Okay? We're still mid-paragraph, but I just wanted to at least clarify the tension before we even go forward. Because then the next piece is key. Atat. We're after the quote in the middle of the paragraph. Elaim oro, the withholding of his light, the hester panah, the chashev la shoresh lo. We read that, I apologize. Ki zeh sivato be'emet. The details of the reality of Ra in this world as it exists, as it comes into reality. Hine ha'adon baruch hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who kol yachol, he is completely powerful. The ein lechefzo minyah, and there is no withholding of his desire. The lo liyicholto gvul klal, and there is no limitations on his omnipotence, on his all powerfulness, so to speak. Therefore, bara shoresh umakor prati, he therefore created a root and a source, a particular root and source. Michuvan bo hatachlita zeh, designed toward this ultimate goal, shel hotzaat pratei inanei hara, to produce the specific aspects of evil, of ra. Kifi ma sheshi'ara chokhma elyona, according to the amount that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, hayot mitzarech lamatzav anir'eh ba'adam va'olam, would be necessary for man and for the world. V'ma she'amar ha'katuv, and that's what the pasuk means when it says, yotzer or. This is actually the true pasuk. Chazal changed it intentionally so that we wouldn't mention Ra in davening in the morning for whatever their reasons. It's in Shulchan Aruch.
Call usually.
What?
We say call, right?
Right. The actual pasuk before Chazal changed it for, meaning they changed the pasuk. They changed it for the tefillah. Yotzer or, God is creates or, uvorei choshech, ose shalom, uvorei ra. So God is borei ra. How is God borei ra? We just said that God isn't the ultimate source of Ra. What God did is as follows. He created the potential within reality for his light not to be able to shine, for a koach to be broken, for a koach to be outside of Or Hashem. But when that koach is outside of Or Hashem, or that koach is broken, so Or Hashem's not coming through, but then like, how does the koach know what to do? And also, God doesn't want there to just be utter chaos in the world. So what God did is as follows, and again, Tavi's point is, isn't it all the same? And my point, I would argue and say, no, it's not the same. God needed to create a system, but is it going to be the source of Ra? So God created a system, a root, by which, if Or Hashem passes through it, so everything's fine. If Or Hashem does not pass through it, then when that koach goes through, when that koach now moves through that root into its expression in the upside down tree, in the branches and the leaves of reality, then it knows exactly how to bring Ra into the world. That root is only functional from that koach when the koach exists in a state of hester panim. So God did design exactly how Ra would come with it into the world. But God will never activate that root. That root gets activated when there's a lack of Or Hashem.
Can we cause that?
That's back to Sherry's question-ish. Meaning that, I would say it has to be so. Meaning, why would God remove Harav Panim from the world on his own? The only thing, and to my knowledge, as far as I understand the system, that can increase or decrease Ha'arat Panim or Hester Panim is our Bichiri'i actions.
So then we haven't had it in the world forever?
Say again?
Like, you know, like it says, like in different stories of Tanakh, whether it was like Hester Panim or it was like Hashem was around. It's like in Gil Sester, it was like Hester. So like, now since we don't see Hashem like every day life, like very obviously, so that's Hester Panim for like...
Yeah.
But it's been going on forever. That means there's no Tov in the world?
It means that there is much less Tov in the world than there used to be. Through our free will actions. Or lack thereof.
But there's still Tov?
What?
There's still Tov?
Yeah. Look at you all!
But there's a middle?
Still Tov in the world. What?
There's a middle?
What do you mean there's a middle? But yeah, a koach can be broken. Meaning like, you can use a broken toaster. Just don't leave it on too long, it'll burst into flames. Right? Meaning, like, when something's broken, it's not functioning properly, but it can still function to a certain extent.
So like a broken shell, it can pick up some water, but just not all of it?
Right, exactly. It can hold some of God's light, but not all of it. Yeah.
All cohort are classified as either whole, broken, or something. Like, I'm saying, like,
that's my understanding, yes.
Is it, like...
They're either in a state of tikkun, a state of kilkul, but I don't think it's binary. You can fix a koach.
You can't just... It's not like you turn off... Like, if you're...
You can fix a koach by bringing more ha'arat Hashem into the world. When you do a ma'aseh of tov, you're funneling more or Hashem into the world. What does it mean
maybe,
to...
Maybe that's just turning off the koach that's ra. Like, stopping ra and, like...
No, because no koach is ra. That's the point. Because God created all of the kochot. And he created the shorish of ra. But he didn't create ra directly into the world. If he created a koach of ra, to my understanding, that would mean that koach has to exist. You're saying there's something inherently evil?
Oh,
I don't think so.
So whenever you do, you can like, so the broken one, let's say like you do good stuff and then it gets...
I'm going to double check this. So this was my understanding of it. But your questions are great. And between now and Tuesday, Blineder, I will spend more time to clarify this. That's my understanding.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just confused how we define Ra. Because, like, is Ra something that's like... nothing can be inherently bad, because something that we think is bad could really be Hashem, like... It could be a good thing. We just
so
see as
we live in a post Eitz HaDa'at world where there is now an Eitz HaDa'at Tov Ra. Tov and Ra are intermingled into each other. So sometimes it's not clear what is Tov and what is Ra. Ra is Ra, but sometimes we don't know what's Ra and what's Tov. But it doesn't change the fact that Ra is Ra and Tov is Tov.
So, like, let's say something that we think is bad happens to someone. Do we say that that's from God or it's from a lack? Like,
we don't know. That's why we can't make that call. That's why we can't make that call.
They always say, like, don't worry, it's from Hashem. Like, Hashem did it for a reason. Like, when bad things happen. Maybe...
And also, but you can still say that God did it for a reason. Because God still defined how that Ra will manifest. He set that up from the beginning. Meaning, even the Ra as it exists in the world is based on how God set up that it would come into the world. God still maintains control of how it manifests. He just won't make it manifest.
I understand that part. I just don't understand, like... I don't understand it.
Let it process. We're not going to be done with this anyway, and between now and Tuesday,
okay,
there'll be processing time. Let's finish Chet. I know it looks like there's a lot of text, but I don't want to leave this hanging in the middle. The Inyan HaShoresh HaZeh. In terms of this root, the root of all evil, literally, right? In terms of the root of evil... Hu klal kochot shonim. It includes many different forces. Yishtalshelu mehem inanei achisaron v'haraot kulam b'chol b'chinotim. That's why I wasn't sure, like, does that mean that a koach can become ra, or does that mean that there are definitive ra kochot that always exist outside of... That's why it's unclear to me. Like, that, I remember reading that line, and, like, that's a good question. I think you asked that, right?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay. That's where all of lacking and all of ra comes into the world and all of its aspects. Bein ma shenogea lanefesh, whether that which is relevant to the nefesh. Bein ma shenogea laguf, whether it's that which is relevant to the body. Bichol pratehem umachlekotam, and all of their details and all of their divisions. Ve'od nedaber mizeh b'chalkei hasheni, and we'll talk about this in a later chapter. B'siyata d'shmaya. V'hine, klala kochot ha'ila mitnaheg lif'ol o shelo yif'ol. The general principle of these kochot works that they either will act or they will not act. Bein bikulo b'mechalaka. This is where I am more sure. Either fully or partially. Right? Meaning you can have a koach that's fully functioning or partially functioning or not functioning at all. But all three of those are options. Bein bikulo b'mechalaka. Achar he'elim oroi barach shmo v'ester panav. Based on the amount of he'ara or hester that's coming through that koach. So the amount of hara that's coming to the koach, or if there's not hara coming to the koach, that's Esther Pan. Ki kafishur ha'alam, based on the amount of hiddenness of God's face, of God's light, kach b'shi'ur zeh, to that extent, to that measure, again, meaning the measure can change, to that measure, tinatein shlita umemshala el hakal hakochot ha'ile, o el chalakim menu shiv olu. That will allow for those kochot to either be active or inactive. The only way that I would understand it otherwise is that I guess that there are certain kochot which, if Or Hashem is shining upon them, that makes them inactive. That would be the only other way to say it. If you have a koach which would only produce negativity in the world, then when there is no, when there is Or Hashem shining upon it, it is inactive. I'm not saying that's true. I'm saying that'd be the only other type of model that you would have based on these words, and I'm going to try to figure it out. But either way, I think you're, meaning, for based on our level of understanding in this room, either way, we're fine for the moment. The important thing is to recognize Ra does not come directly from God. It comes indirectly from God. That's the most important point here, and this is the system of how it comes about. When these kochot become stronger and they take authority, yuchash koach hatov. Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be that there are negative kochot. I take it back. You're right, there are negative kochot. There are kochot that act, that are inherently producing tov when Harat is coming in. There are kochot that it seems that their function is that when Or Hashem is on them, they're inactive, and when Or Hashem is not on them, they are negative. That's how I'm going to take that. I'm switching gears from that. You're right. Yuchash koach hatov. The kochot of Tov get weaker and they become broken, and the reality and the of those kochot and that root and the root of all things which are the kochot get broken. And therefore, of course, down here their branches and their extensions will be weakened as well, and you'll have negativity down in the lower realms. And when these negative kochot are overcome by Or Hashem, and their v'tinatel mehem ashlita v'apula, and their rulership and their authority is taken away, then yitkaber hatov, then tov can be overcoming. V'tuknu shorshei hanivraim, and then the source of all things becomes fixed in a proper way. V'yitzvu matzav hatov, and they'll be established in a good way. V'yitchazkuhem v'anfehem, and then they and their branches will be strengthened. V'ulam kol ma shezacharnu minenei hatov v'hara, everything that we've mentioned before in the entire Sefer up until now, from the beginning of Perek Aleph, in terms of tov and ra, u'milchemet ha-sechel v'achomer, and the war between the seichel, spirituality, and chomer, physicality, the chol inyanei tikkun v'kilkul, in all aspects of fixing and destroying in the world. Shoresh hakol ha'inanim kulam, the root of all of these things, heimit gavru ta'kochot ha'ila, v'hagia inyanam v'toldatam v'nivraim, is which one of these kochot is overcoming, and their expressions through the physical world in olam ha'shafel. B'shorashim of anafim, whether they're fixed, whether they're in a good place in terms of their shorashim, or their anafim, in their roots, in their source, or in their extensions. O hakna'atam uvil tupulatam, or whether they're being subjugated, or whether they're being inactive. V'hasir inyanam v'toladatam min hanivraim shorashim v'anafim. And its attributes and effects are removed from reality in the root and in their extended branches. So again, Tov and Ra existing in the world are all coming through the Kochot. Whether a Koach is in a place of Tikkun or Kilkul, if it's a place of Tikkun, it's fixed in a way that it can receive light, and it's a place where it can receive, and it's, the light is shining upon it, and it can receive it, and then funnel it into the world. If it's in a place of Kilkul, it cannot funnel God, it's either not in the scope of God's light, or it can't funnel it into the world. And then the root of Ra becomes active because there's no Or Hashem keeping it from becoming active, and it brings Ra into the world in a specific way, not from Hashem, because there's a lack of Or Hashem upon it that brings about the Shorash of Ra to start to express itself through that Koach and bring Ra into the world. Is that somewhat clear? Simba's not convinced. Aviva's got a question.
So is it, Are there
kochot
that could be partially good or bad? What
would you say? It sounds like either all kochot are good, and when there's hester panim, then they produce ra. Or there are kochot of ra that are inactive in a state of herach panim and are active when there's a state of hester panim. I'm going to figure that out. But it doesn't sound like there are kochot that are both. It's simply that, if let's say, let's take the simpler model, if you have a koach that generally produces tov, and it becomes broken, and it can't funnel Or Hashem, then that empty space where it should have been funneling Or Hashem, the Shorash of Ra will produce Ra through that koach. It's not the koach is ra. It's that because the koach is not fully functioning, its impact that it would have is now limited in terms of what it can do in terms of tov, but then that leaves space for the shorash of ra to impact it in the opposite direction. All coming from the shorash, but not from a kadosh baruch hu.
Okay, that's good.
Light funneling through produces tov. If that koach, if that vessel is broken, that it can't receive light, imagine the koach instead of as a vessel in that way, imagine it as a funnel. Okay? No matter what, it's going to produce this amount of reality. If it's in a state where it's in the scope of Or Hashem and it's fully functioning, then Or Hashem funnels through all of it, and then everything that's produced is Tov. Okay? If it's in a state of kilkul, and it's not within the scope of Or Hashem, or it can't properly receive it, right? Let's say it breaks somehow, and now it's bent inward like that. It's in a state of kilkul, which is what kilkul means. It means actually means bent, right? Then the Or Hashem is coming down, but only this much gets through. Then the Shoresh of Ra has the ability to now send down to fill in this empty space, and what's being produced is now, wouldn't you know it, Eitz Hadaat Tov Ra. It's a reality of a Ta'arubat of Tov and Ra. Is it coming from God? God's active place ends here, because this koach is cutting off Or Hashem. Is it coming from God? It's coming from a lack of God.
Okay. I think the part I don't like is that we keep saying that it's all coming from the Shoresh, but the Shoresh isn't Hashem. That's like
we. The Shoresh, no, God created that Shoresh, but He never activates it.
It just seems weird to say that the Shoresh is, of like something isn't God.
God created it, He sustains it, but He doesn't activate it. He sustains the Shoresh of Ra, but He doesn't create a reality of Ra. If you want to get supreme, if you want to get, we're officially done here. I mean, like, we went way over time, so like, if you need to go, you can go. What time do you have class?
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
At five.
Oh, okay, fine. So, for those of you who just want to add this extra layer, you're welcome to stay. But I don't want to leave this. At this, I don't want to leave hanging next time either. I apologize for the halacha people. In terms of how reality is structured, there are three levels to reality. Which is actually super meaningful, because what did we actually talk about three levels of last time?
Well,
2 times ago, yeah, bring things into the world. What were those three levels? Excellent, Machshava, Dibur, Maaseh. There are many, many parallels to these things. Many, like we talked about, there are more that are above that we're not going to deal with, like Ratzon and things going up even further than that. These are the basic bottom three. If this is how everything comes into reality, when we do things from our mind to our actions, we're created B'Tzelem Elokim, reality is going to function the same way. And there are three layers to reality. Al Pi Kabbalah. Ri'ah, Yitzirah, and Asiyah. There are ones that are higher that we're not going to deal with. Ri'ah, Yitzirah, and Asiyah, those words are very specific. When you start to see those words in Chumash, in Chazal, in Sifrei Machshava v'Kabbalah, those words are used very, very specifically. Each one on a different level. There's the initial creation and capacity. It starts to take form, just like with Dibor, it starts to take form, and then it actually is produced in the literal realm. Okay? What does the Pasuk say about Ra? Go back to the beginning of the Pasuk.
Yotzer Or.
Uvorei Choshech. Oseh Shalom. Uvorei Atakol. It's interesting, like, we didn't even notice that there were very specific terms there that were constantly changing in that same Pasuk. Those words are all used very intentionally. Let's focus on one of them. Which one is it talking about by Ra? Boreira. Boreira. Where does God's active stance in a Ra exist? On a level of Bria. Where is God not active in Ra? In Asiyah. God does not create a reality of Ra in this world. He creates the potential for Ra, and it's straight in the Pasuk. He creates the potential for Ra on the level of Bria. Only we can draw it down from Bria to Asiya through our impact on the Kochot. He creates the potential, but only we can actualize it. Clear? Yeah.
So, can I, so like, in terms of like numbers, I think sometimes it's like easier for me to think like that. When you're using the filter thing, so let's say like, if the full capacity for Tov was like 100%, but the broken cough only let in 40%.
Yep.
So that means that the leftover 60% of air would now turn to Ra.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's air, but the leftover 60% of empty space, yes.
So that turns into Ra because it goes through that like Ra.
Because the thing still exists. It's not like when this chair is in a state of Ra, like 60% of it just disappears and it'll fall off the chair. Its reality is now both Tov and Ra.
So there's never fully Ra?
Yeah.
Is it? You can totally disagree, but I'm kind of thinking of it like a camera, where like the light goes through and then the parts that end up being like an old-fashioned camera before digital.
Mm-hmm.
Like the parts that are light are the parts where the light was able to go through, and the parts that are dark in the picture are the parts where like there was something in the way.
Sure, and then what gets produced is only that which the light went through produces an image. That which it doesn't produce, so there it doesn't produce an image at all. It produces something black. If you want to just keep the mashal going, if you want to use that mashal, that black is Ra, then yes, but that Ra still has a foot, it's still manifest. In the picture, it's not manifest. That's why I'd say it's not exactly parallel, but yes, in the way that you're describing it, I'd say go with it.
So how does it render free?
Through our free will actions. Through our free will actions. We cause Tikkun and Kilkul in a koach.
So if we do something bad,
we create as described in chapter 4, we create a reality of Hester Panim. If there's a reality of Hester Panim and there's no longer light shining on that koach, right? That's in the case where, let's say, even it's in. Can we just not put out the no good erasers anymore? Because I keep reaching for that. Let's say it is still in a case of, I did something wrong, but I didn't necessarily impact something in a negative way, but I did something Ra. So I'm going to reduce the amount of Or Hashem that's shining in general. Meaning, even though this is still in a place of Tikkun, there's still only so much light shining down. And since there's no light coming through the other half of this funnel, so again, the Shorash of Ra will then wake up. The concept of nature abhors a void in science is true in the spiritual realms as well. That's basically the premise of this concept. Nature abhors a void. That's
and
true
the
in
the spirit.
What?
And the void will be filled with Ra.
Correct. If you leave a void of Tov, Ra will fill it. Say that loud. No, I'm actually curious.
I don't know if it makes no sense. Matter and antimatter?
Oh, no. Okay, take it back. I don't want to know. Okay, fine. So, is that clearer? Are people now more settled in this?
Not really. So for a second, I'm not sure if you talked about it, but did we talk about where the source of Ra is?
Yes, that was exactly what you said that for. Correct. Okay, Sima and Talia, you guys process. We'll come back next time and we'll review this and then finish up Chelek Aleph. Crazy times.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shkolach, everybody.